Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Yeah, but when it comes to my credit score, it's like my Bible. So I get my report from one of these, you know, reputable credit people on a monthly basis. And they tell you what you qualify for, where you've dropped the ball, your accounts are all in order and things like that. So I make sure that my credit record is clean, and you'll be amazed as to how many offers you get from different institutions saying, hey, we can offer you this, that and the other. But yeah, the bottom line is keep it as clean as possible. And I know in these trying times it's impossible, but let's try, guys. Let's try.
Ah, Mubulawa, Muratu, exactly the person I love hearing from. And the comments that you're sharing also really do make sense. Mubulawa there commenting on the conversation we had regarding the data from Experian, essentially reflecting on the default survey. How many times South Africans have been defaulting. And we do see a reduction in the default rate, but the bad news is that it's not because our behavior is getting better. It's actually because fewer of us are able to access credit. And that's very telling, because it reminds us that every time we speak to the banking CEOs and their credit loss ratios look lower, they're just getting stricter. In the past, Gugu might have gotten 10,000 rand as a loan, but now they're saying, maybe we'll give you 5, maybe 3, or you know what, none at all. So that is really quite telling about the spaces that we're in. But as you've heard, financial behavior and your credit behavior is crucial to make sure that you monitor the access of credit that you can have. Pay on time. That's the number one rule. Pay on time and regularly. Don't default and say, I'll skip this credit card and pay the house. Or let me skip the house and pay the car. Or you know what, I'll skip the car and prioritize school fees. Do them all. Manage them effectively. And if you do find yourself conflicted at that rate, that's where you might need some level of support just to manage your debt payments accordingly. And this is a conversation that speaks clearly front and center to another theme we're discussing tonight. That's the latest Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index. It's one that's published for the second quarter of this year, released today, and helps us understand that there's a slight improvement in our household health. So in as much as we might not be accessing credit more often, perhaps interest rates have also come down. But what we are seeing is that you and I, much like Mubulawa, are becoming a lot more alert to say, let's manage our money better. A good friend of the show joins us now to tell us more about this particular figure and comment on some of the key themes that we often discuss in the world of economics. Dr. Roelof Botha, economist who compiles the index on behalf of Altron FinTech, joining us tonight. Dr. Botha, always a pleasure to have you, sir. Ons waardeer jou tyd baie.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Likewise, good to see you. I guess first things first, if we take a look at the Household Resilience Index for the second quarter of this year, it does show a level of improvement that essentially as South Africans, it seems as though we're trying our best to get by, and we actually are getting by. Is my understanding correct of the study?
Yes. if we were to, it would be quite interesting. And yes, a thought for Kaya. To maybe have a competition. What is the single word, not a phrase, not two words, not three words, one word,
yeah,
that most accurately in 2025 describes South Africans? And I'm going to go first, and if I win, I'll send you my bank account details.
Perfect.
But my word is resilience.
Yeah.
We are resilient. It's a fact. The Altron FinTech Index results, as you've probably seen, look nice on paper, 2.3% year-on-year improvement. We're all grateful for that. But if you dig a little bit deeper, which I have to do not only for Altron FinTech, but also for the Optimum Investment Group, whose advisor I am, we've just won the Citywire discretionary fund manager of the year award.
Congratulations.
14% per annum, 5 years running. They're a fantastic bunch of people. Dr. François Botha, no relation of mine, but I wouldn't mind having that in for a son. He knows what he's doing. But we've picked it up that there's a lot of activity on the pension fund side. Unfortunately, these are people that are dipping into their pension funds.
Yeah.
The amount of money that they can withdraw is not much. It's capped at a fairly low level. And it does help. One has empathy for people who perhaps the car is broken down, or you're desperate to, you know, just take the kids on a holiday and you just don't have enough funds. That's fine. But just remember two things. Number one, you're going to pay tax on that money at the marginal rate, the top marginal rate, number one. So have a good look at that. Speak to your accountant to make sure, or somebody that knows accounting, to find out if this is really worth your while. And number two, once you've taken out some pension fund money, you're going to have to work harder, smarter, or longer.
Yes.
If you don't do that, you won't be able to fend for yourself in your old age. Yeah. But back to the Altman FinTech Index, it's looking good, but there's this artificial boost that was received from the pension fund withdrawals, because yes, the Altman FinTech Index looks at 20 different indicators, which tells you, you know, how much money people have to spend, or how much money are they spending. But the sources of revenue, salaries, wages, pension fund withdrawals, interest, rent, gambling proceeds, that's just a quip. The sources of income are obviously varied. So that's looking very good. But these pension fund withdrawals have made a difference.
Got you. They've made a difference, but they're not sustainable in the long term, right? And it almost seems as though this is where either financial behavior has to shift, or adequate access to credit or financial inclusion needs to be a priority. I'm quite keen, you know, just to hear your perspective on a conversation we've had in the past, which is that reduction in the interest rate, the target now being 3%. And as a consequence, we do see interest rates coming down now, given the 25 basis point cut we saw from the MPC just over 2 weeks ago. Many would assume, well, surely this is likely going to have a positive effect, which would further drive resilience in our economy. But there are some concerns we should be mindful of. And this is the thought and I guess stance that you have regarding this conversation.
Yes, absolutely. You certainly understand the environment and the dire situation that some households and individuals are finding themselves in. So, and you've mentioned some options even earlier in the program of what people should do and should not do and be careful for, which is really good advice. But on the interest rate scenario, what we should remember is that we've had now a reduction of 150 basis points in the prime rate, because we shouldn't focus on the repo rate. The repo rate doesn't mean anything to a person that wants to apply for a mortgage loan or a loan for a car. The benchmark interest rate in South Africa is the prime overdraft rate, and it is directly linked to the repo rate. Yep. And that has come down with 150 basis points. We are very grateful for that. When I say we, I'm talking on behalf of literally tens of millions of South Africans who have debt, would agree with me. But the current prime rate of 10.25% is still higher than it was before COVID. And very importantly, if you deduct the current consumer price index, inflation, from that prime rate, so prime minus CPI, this is a sum that my
it's about 3.7%, right? The latest CPI.
My third youngest grandson, who's in grade three, he can do the sum. Prime, 10.25 minus CPI, 3.6.
Yes.
If you round that off, it gives you 6.8% real prime rate. And this is very important, and I would like the listeners, viewers, to go back to the period when the previous Monetary Policy Committee was under the leadership of Jill Marcus, the best governor of the Reserve Bank we've ever had, in my view. Because during her five-year term of office, the real prime rate, prime minus CPI, was 3.4%. And the economy grew at between 2 and 3% in real terms per annum for 5 years. And when she retired in 2015, and Mr. Jacob Zuma, the architect of state capture, appointed a new Monetary Policy Committee, they immediately started raising rates. And there has been a profound shift in emphasis. The monetary policy approach of the Reserve Bank in this country has changed dramatically for the worse. Why for the worse? because they are claiming credit for lower inflation, which is absolute nonsense.
It's the supply
side. Our inflation rate came down because of a reduction of the oil price and a reduction in global freight shipping charges. Those two items, oil price and global freight shipping charges, increased by 400% and 700% respectively shortly after COVID.
Got you.
And interest rates, higher interest rates cannot solve that problem.
Yeah.
So we are sitting with this dilemma that we need deep interest rate cuts. Our prime overdraft rate should be 9% or lower.
Got you.
And many economists agree with me on this one.
Yes.
And I'm part of a team that is doing research on the costs or the damage that was inflicted on this economy.
Got you.
Because of that.
Dr. Botha, unfortunately, I have to wrap it up. But you know, I thoroughly enjoyed when we engage in these topics. So definitely looking forward to wrapping up the year with you and an economic overview of where we are and, headed into 2026. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for your time again.
Take care.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you. Dr. Roelof Botha joining us as an economist associated and works for the Optimum Investment Group, but is also the economist to compile the index on behalf of Altron FinTech that takes a look at Household Resilience Index. Lots to discuss, always exciting views, but you know what? The show is about to get better because if you happen to be at Kaya House, our front reception area and the first floor is essentially packed with amazing individuals and of course Pimelo Mudene standing by to give us a wonderful broadcast of Point of View. It is Point of View with an unusual twist to it tonight. And if you're not here, you are missing out. She'll be speaking to a legendary individual who I believe is one of the best diplomats we have of the African continent. But beyond that, he's a brand creative, a strategist, and an author of one of his most recently written books. So as I wrap up, do keep listening. Stay tuned for Point of View with Pimelo Mudene with her incredible guest tonight, Thebe Ikalafe.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.